Good. Well, thank you so much. It's so good to be with you guys. You've pretty much covered it already, basically. The sermon, if you were listening and paying attention through our time of worship, we've pretty much covered all the bases, which is always so encouraging. But I'll go through it anyway, just to recap. We are in the second week of a mini-series about being filled with the Holy Spirit, right? We want to be a people who are filled constantly and in an ongoing way with the Holy Spirit. If you're here last week, Simon kicked off that series for us, basically just saying, be filled. Don't just remember that you were filled once. Be filled. Be hungry for. We believe that our faith, don't we, is a supernatural faith. We are not here for self-help guidebooks and constantly organizing ourselves into slightly better lifestyles. We are here for the power of God at work in both our life, the community of the church, which we'll talk about next week, abroad in the world where he is least known, which is what Naya's dad will talk to us about in 2 weeks' time. That's commendation enough on its own, but he's also a minister and a leader of a church down in Worcester, Jim Harper, so we're grateful to have him coming to talk to us as well. If you were here last week and you responded to what Simon said and you came to the front or you prayed with one another to be filled with the Holy Spirit, hopefully that's only made you feel more hungry and thirsty to come this morning and seek God for your life. Because as we say, this is not a once and done thing. We want to cultivate hunger for his ministry at all times in our life. As a result, I don't want this morning to be a passive thing, so please be ready to pray. We're going to pray several times throughout this service today, and it's not just me praying. I want you to pray. I want you to engage your mouths and your hearts this morning. So why don't we do that now, just quickly? We need to pray. We need to have God at work in us this morning. So I'm going to pray briefly. If you pray in tongues and you believe God has given you that gift, then pray in tongues now. If you don't, what our prayer is this morning is just that God would come and meet us. So why don't you just say, Holy Spirit, come to meet me today. God, come and fill me with your Spirit today. I'm just going to pray that now. You pray with me as well. Engage your own mouth for this morning. Lord God, would you come and meet with us this morning? Would you move in power in us today that we might know you more, that we might recognize you more in our lives? Please, Lord God, would you do it? This is your work, Holy God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. I've got my pen out because I'm kind of just tick listing in my head here, so I'm going to just cross off my paragraphs as I'm happy. Good. Okay. I should stress to you this morning, I feel grossly unqualified and unconfident about myself this morning. It's been a crazy week for me and my family. My oldest daughter, Eleanor, is in hospital today just for pain management now. She broke her arm on Thursday night and is thankfully well and in good hands, but it's left me feeling quite emotional and fragile. Even if I was on my best day, which, you know, I have some pretty fine days, I feel completely unqualified, but I trust, based on what I've studied, based on what I believe about who God is and what you know about who God is, I trust that it's his promise that we're looking for this morning, his ministry. So I wonder how you're feeling today. If you were in Simon's talk last week, then even better. Even if you weren't, I wonder how you feel today about yourself. I've got to say, you all look amazing. Mostly, I've not smelt all of you, but most of you smell quite good this morning. You all seem to, I mean, I've had a lot of pleasant conversations. You all seem to be smiling. You all seem to be well today. So, yeah, how do you feel? Most of you I know are tithing. I don't know personally, but I assume you're all tithing, and that's good. You're all serving members of the church. Many of you, great, great. You've all managed to get up here at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning, so you're ticking off a lot of the criteria here. I guess you're all pretty good. But I wonder if that's all that we're thinking about this morning. I wonder whether our outbound apparent righteousness is what we're looking for today. I wonder if the polished and pristine behaviors that you're managing to exhibit here with us this morning are what we're actually looking for, to make ourselves appear shiny so that other people will look at us and think that the Christian life is the best life, because these guys all look pretty well to do. I had the privilege last year of going to a camp called Encounter, so called because we believe that God, in fact, we see regularly that God meets with and encounters people who have otherwise apparently messy lives, but God comes in and transforms people's lives into something that is at times unrecognizable from what their life was like before. But brilliantly, last year at the end, in the last morning before everyone went home, you know, a lot of people met with God, lives have been transformed. One of the pastors there, Simon Allen, spoke to the people and he said, go home, be a part of a church, but do not be shiny. Do not go home and try and be shiny, because you'll manage it for a week, you'll manage it maybe for two, and then people will see. People will see who you are. And my encouragement to you, my desire for us as a people this morning, is let us not be shiny. Oh, please, God, no. I don't want to be a part of a shiny community. But God said, Jesus said in Matthew 5, as he kicked off the Sermon on the Mount, he said, let your light shine before others. He said, you're the light of the world. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. So while I don't want us to be a community of shiny people, I'm desperate for us to be a community of people who are radiant. If anybody's ever seen the film Moana, you'll recognize this giant crab, Tamatoa. He's one of the bad guys. He's also very funny. He's one of these crabs that has just stuck huge amounts of treasure on his back in his constant quest to be shiny. He wants to be something that he's not. He wants to be shiny even though he lives in the dark. And I suppose this actually links into what Bob encouraged us with at the end of our time of worship, saying actually we're not looking to try harder. We're looking to accept God's work in our life. And so the other image you might recognize is the moon, which is a piece of dull space rock, I presume, although I've never touched it. But in the presence of the sun, through no effort of its own, it becomes radiant. God, let us be radiant. We sang, Dan encouraged at the start of worship, that in your presence all our fears are washed away. So I want for us that we would become like the moon, being in full face of God and therefore radiant. So Simon encouraged us last week, not that that means go and start doing the ministry as Jesus was speaking to his disciples at the start of the book of Acts. It means actually wait. Wait for God. Similarly, when Jesus is encouraging Martha, he says, Mary has chosen the good portion when she just waits. Jesus' call on your life is not to busy yourself, but to sit in his presence. So let's do that this morning. We're going to do that. We're going to read this passage together that I've picked, and we are going to just meditate through it together a little bit to hopefully encourage you with some of this. I hope that's okay, and we'll continue to pray together as we do. So from 2 Corinthians, this is the scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 to 18. This is from the New International Version. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, you all know this, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. By the grace of God, this is what we've actually already been doing this morning. We've contemplated the Lord's glory together in worship. And the reality is that most people in the world can't actually do this because their faces are veiled. Their eyes are shrouded from seeing the truth of who God is and therefore who they are. But God is pursuing you. He has lifted the veil from your face. So if you're here today, then you are among those privileged that he is at work in your life, and that your face is becoming unveiled. And it's a work of the Spirit. We still have to fight for this, right? In an earlier letter to the Corinthians church, Paul actually admits, you know, having said our faces are unveiled, he also admits that well-known scripture where he says, now we see in a mirror dimly. We don't see the fullness of this. We're still in a fight. We still live in the fall. We still have to fight for these things, and they can become blocked at times. So the intellectual truth about you, about how God feels about you, you know it as well as I do. Most of you know it better than I do. The truth about you is that when God saw you in your state, he could not help himself but seek after you. He could not help himself when he said to his son, I've got a crazy plan. It involves you doing some crazy stuff. Jesus himself looked at you personally with that divine capacity that only he has. He saw you and he said, let me go, Father. And when he hung on the cross 2,000 years ago to die your death, he looked out across eternity and he saw your face and he said, you are worth the price. You are worth it for me to do this. Jesus did that work for you, and Paul's reflection on it often is that it would never have gone any way. God's love for you plus your mess could never have equaled anything but him going to the cross. Such is his love for you. But you all already knew that. So while it's fine for us to accept that and just to have a very intellectual conversation, why is it that on Monday morning I don't feel the truth of that? I don't feel the, oh, Jesus, you've looked through all eternity and you've grabbed me. Thank you. All I think is, crikey, the deadline's in an hour and I've got to have that meeting with John before I can actually get it done. So when am I going to, oh, Jesus. So we need something else. We need help, don't we, right? Paul's encouragement to us, the Apostle Paul's encouragement to us in the book of Romans is that God's love is poured into our hearts through our constant meditation on his... God's love is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So again, the objective truth is one thing, but our experience of it demands something supernatural. Let's just take another moment now and just ask God for this. This is his work. It's the work of the Spirit. So you can think about that truth. You can think about the cross. But what I want you to do is engage your mouth and your body and your heart to ask the Holy Spirit for this for you. And again, if you pray in tongues, pray in tongues. If you don't pray in tongues, pray in English. What it is that you want God to do. God, we want a revelation of your love today. Father, would you show me how you feel about me today? Please, Lord God, would you do this work? Thank you for the miracle of your love. Thank you that you've done something incredible for me that you'll never think twice about, you'll never undo. You love me, Lord. Holy Spirit, would you come and reveal that to me more? Yeah, Holy Spirit, we ask you to just minister to us this morning. We ask you to pour into our hearts the love of the Father for us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just jump on, Joe, to the 3 points so that I see if I've hit them all? That's the unveiled faces. The last thing about this is that I would just want to say is that famous verse, we cry, Abba, Father. There's a famous verse that you might have heard of. It's in Romans 8 that we live by the Spirit, and the Spirit in us cries, Abba, Father, cries, Abba, which is Daddy, Daddy. It's such a nice concept. I think about it all the time. And I've only, when I was preparing for this thought, actually thought, yeah, but what does it mean? What does it mean? And it took me immediately to my children. I have 3 children. And Arthur, my son, is so trusting of his mother that when he needs something at home, he'll cry, Mummy, for something, even if she's not in the house. Even if he knows that I'm the one looking after him today. So he'll say, Mummy, I need this. Mummy, can you help me with it? And then he'll look at me and he'll realize it's me who's doing the looking after today. He'll laugh feels kind of like he's laughing at me. I'm like, oh, you're trying today, are you? Okay. And then he'll ask me to do this thing. He's so trusting of the provision that his reflex, what he does naturally without even thinking, is to cry out. And it's good. I was most challenged by this actually for Eleanor on Thursday night. Her reflex is becoming, as she grows, it's becoming to cry out to her Father in heaven. And I was so challenged by her faith as I sat with her, and she was in huge amounts of pain. She was really scared. And her reflex was, Daddy, I'm so scared. Will you pray for me? I don't want this. Will you pray for me? And her reflex was to cry out to her Father in heaven. And for me, as a very shaky, imperfect earthly dad, I was just like, yeah, I was just overwhelmed by that and so challenged by her faith that she knew that what she needed to walk through the most challenging times was the love of her Father in heaven and his help. And every time something good happened, she was encouraged that God was answering her prayers. So she didn't need a cannula the second time. God, I asked God that I wouldn't need that today. She didn't need this. She did get that when she wanted it. She was able to get a hot meal when she really wanted it. And that was God's faithfulness to her in small ways. Okay, let's move on to the second portion of the scripture, please, Joe, that I've highlighted. It's just go back a step, right back to the start. And it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And this is one of the promises that Rosie commented on at the start and that we've been reflecting on in our time of worship. There is freedom. Thank goodness, thank the Lord that there is freedom. And it's another of those verses that we declare often. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Praise God. And actually, Dave, who's visiting us, Toby's dad, thank you so much for encouraging us today. Dave's prayer was, there is freedom. And God, would you do it in us? Would you give it to us? We know this is a promise that you have for us. Would you give it to us, Lord? And he does so often. One of the biggest things that we need to remember when we live a life in the fall, in imperfection, is that one of the great things we need freedom from is our own flesh, the sin that so easily entangles so often. And our belief is that we can be free. As an encouragement in Romans that you can read often, Romans 6, that your body was ruled by sin. That body, as Bob was encouraging us, was crucified with Christ so that you should no longer be a slave to sin. The promise that Paul's stating is that it's a spirit activity. You weren't actually alive 2,000 years ago, but spiritually, through your adoption into Christ's body, as Bob has said, in one sense, there's a part of you that has come from that time. There's a part of you that has come from that time that was ruled by sin and is no longer ruled by sin, by the grace of God and his sovereign power at work in your life. It's a spiritual truth that you were crucified with Christ, and so you are dead to sin. Praise God. But we live in a realm of the now and not yet, and the enemy is cunning. And one of the biggest things you also need to remember your freedom in is what Paul says just a breath later, is that there is no condemnation for you. So if you do find yourself still acting out sin at times, and when you hear the encouragement that that the law of sin no longer has any hold on you, and you find yourself thinking, ah, but yesterday, ah, but this morning, ah, but literally 10 seconds ago, the sin still seems to come to the fore at times. You need to remember that there is no condemnation. So, Lord, we just declare that over ourselves. Why don't you just receive that for a moment? Holy Spirit, your work in us is that there's no condemnation. I am free from sin. This is your work, Holy Spirit, and we accept it now. I accept, Lord, that my sin is covered. I am not a slave to it anymore. Holy Spirit, I invite you to just reveal your grace and love to me now in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord. And that great, great freedom that we have to remember is that we are now adopted and have access. I'm just going to read this out to us. We've got a bit of time, so I'm just going to read this to us. This is from Romans again. For the law of the Spirit of life
The law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. And this is the connecting moment, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So we who walk according to the Spirit, this is the promise of Romans 8, we who walk according to the Spirit, the truth is, and this is what we now just need to accept by the Spirit, the righteous requirement of the law has been fulfilled in you. Any moment where the devil would seek to part you from the love of God, the righteous requirement of the law has been fulfilled. So we see we're talking again about God's sovereign grace as a demonstration of his great love for you. The greatest freedom that we now have is to live in the truth that we can now approach our Father in heaven with no inhibition. And of course, the words of Hebrews are that you can do that with confidence. Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. So the final part, the next part that I just want to check in on is transformation. We who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory. Praise God. Transformation. Oh Lord, I think of my life still today and I think, oh Lord, transformation, when that day is finished. Gosh. I'm no Greek scholar, but apparently the word that we read here as transformation, we read at other places in scriptures with different English words. So where we read here transformed, the word metamorpho, I don't know how you use that O, metamorpho. It's also used in Matthew 17 in a very famous passage where Jesus goes up a mountain with a few of his disciples and we say he is transfigured in that moment. There's another kind of transformation where the disciples look at him and they go, what? Because what they see, they saw that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became white as light. So the transformation that we're really talking about here is not a natural thing. It's not like, oh, David seems all right these days. Have you noticed? Yeah, he seems to just act a bit less like a dork than he used to. We're talking about supernatural transformation. Praise God. So no matter what you are thinking about in your life that is like, yeah, but I'm just a bit like that, aren't I? I'm just not quite there. People are probably going to think that I'm just a bit less of a shining light. In the name of Jesus, God promises to do his work in you. And the other thing that you can read in this is that it's a journey, right? Ever increasing glory. So let's seek God today for the journey. You don't have to seek God for the sinless version of yourself. You have to seek God for, well, yes, you should seek God for that. But seek God just for the step. Seek God just for the step. He is faithful to you. He has good things for you. But really, as well, I think you read, I started in Matthew 5 today in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus lays out a manifesto of what would cause, I can't remember exactly what I said at the start, what would cause people, if you're a shining light, people to look on and give glory to your Father in heaven because of your good works. So there's a behavioral outworking that we're talking about here, but we must not become slaves to law-seeking behavior. We must seek Jesus, learn from his instruction, seek to model our lives practically on who he is and how he has taught us. But we must do that full of the Spirit, full of his grace for others and for ourselves, earnestly seeking to become who Jesus is forming you to be. It's his hands. He is the potter. We do not want a self-help checklist.
Of course, in the book of Galatians as well, you can read the fruits of the Spirit, and we dwell on those oftentimes. We talk about those. I'm not going to read through them and remind you of them today, because I in this moment, I don't want us to think about the outworking. I want us to think about the source. There will come a time those behaviors will become evident in your life, and they already, I know most of you, those behaviors already are evident in your lives. I can encourage you with that. But right now, what we want to do is we want to seek the source. Jesus said, I'm the vine. Don't worry about the fruit. Worry about the root. Come to me. Come to me. Abide in me. Because if you don't abide in me, the fruit's never going to come. And if any fruit comes, it will be bad. Abide in me. So let's do that together today. And the final bit of the encouragement, really, is that last moment to just wrap all of this up in the truth that this does not come from you. Relax. The freedom does not come from you. The transformation does not come from you. It is a work that comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And by the grace of God, the Spirit is shed abroad. The Spirit is poured out into your life, into your heart, so that you might know his love, and so that you might, like the moon, with no self-effort, become transformed into something radiant. That's what we want to seek together today. I don't want to challenge you to work harder. I don't want to push you to do more. In fact, 9 times out of 10, I want you to do less. The encouragement Paul has had to challenge me on, you need to do less. The doing is not bringing glory to God. Trying is not bringing glory to God. It is just you trying to look shiny. You need to just be a piece of dull space rock. Drift aimlessly through the sky for a while so that in that moment you might come in full face of God and your whole life in a moment or over time might just illuminate the night sky. Praise God. Don't be a crab. Okay. Sorry. We remembered that moment from John 15, which is where Jesus talks about being the vine, which is just, we should go back to that. It's one of those things that I just try and encourage myself with all the time. Don't be a busy branch. Just abide, abide, abide. I'll just read it to you. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him. And we somebody mentioned that today. Somebody encouraged with that in scripture about, it was Bob again, wasn't it? About being in Jesus and Jesus being in you. He it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And later it simply says, abide in my love. Abide in my love. That's what our prayer is this morning. So if it's okay, we've got a bit of time together now. Dan's going to encourage us and draw us together with another song. And then we're just going to take this time to imbibe of this, to reflect on this. When I first started thinking of this sermon, I had this picture of a flower, a parable of a flower. And my biology is not extensive, but my general understanding is that flowers exist so that plants can do what they need to do and reproduce. Roughly, they have a nice flower that looks nice to the bees and gives nectar to the bees, so the bees need the flowers. The other flowers need the flowers so that they can exchange their pollen and have fertile seeds or whatever they do. But there's only one thing that makes the flower bloom, and that's the sun. It's the sun that causes the growth. It's the sun that causes the season and the flowers to bloom. The bees benefit, the other flowers benefit, and that is a great, but the flower cannot cause itself to bloom. The bee cannot cause the flower to bloom. Only the sun. That's my encouragement to you today, actually, that if there's anything in this that is causing you to feel expectation from yourself or from others, pressure,
I've got a flower so that the bees can have their nectar. I've got a flower so that the other flowers can be pollinated. In the name of Jesus, I want you to lay that aside. There's only one expectation here, and that's on the faithfulness of our Father in heaven to do what only he does. So, yeah, I'm just going to pray initially for us, and then we've got, as I say, a good amount of time together that we might just receive the love of our Father in Jesus' name. So if you are willing and able to stand, let's do that together. Oh, Father God, we come again now to meet with you. Thank you, Lord God, that when we engage our minds, we can see objectively. Anytime we can see, Lord God, that you love us. We see in those famous words of John 3:16 that you love us so much that you sent your Son, your one and only Son, to die for us. And we just ask, Holy Spirit, today that you would take that truth, help us to feel the truth of it. Help the power of that truth to flood our entire lives, not just for today, but for our whole lives. We ask for that truth, Lord God, in Jesus' name, to pervade our lives, to go through every moment of our lives, every second in our weeks, might be full of your love for us, Lord God, in Jesus' name.